Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast. Wait, we have the winners. Well, part of many of the winners that won DVM 360's Hospital Design Competition of the Year. Huge shout out to our friends at Oregon Humane Society. And joining us are Kelly Bremkin and Dr. Stephen Coaches. How are you, my friends?
We are awesome. Thank you.
So glad to be here.
Yes. So did it settle in a little bit and sink in that, my gosh, like we won this, I mean, you won other awards for design competitions as well. What does that feel like?
This is like, for me, this one is the most meaningful award because I feel like it's coming from my peers, my colleagues, like the veterinary community. Any of the other awards we've won have been, you know, more about like local business, design, you know, architect, construction, that sort of thing. So this is like, for me, this is the most meaningful of anything that we've been recognized for.
Oh, that's awesome. Congratulations. And Kelly, to our listeners, tell us a little bit about yourself and how did you end up meeting the one and only here, Dr. Stephen Coaches?
Well, thank goodness I did. I have a lot of experience working in animal shelters. So about 20 years. And when I had a hard time in life and was like, man, I don't know if I can work in an animal shelter right now, I decided to go back to school and get my master's in social work. And I was fortunate that at the time, University of Tennessee was just offering this program for veterinary social work. So that is this wonderful idea that animals are a strength in people's life and we should include them in our planning for helping people live a full life. And so this idea that I could be a veterinary social worker and also go back to the shelter I loved the most when I worked there, Oregon Humane Society. I was so fortunate to meet the team at OHS again after I had left. And really, really, Dr. Coaches is the way that I got my internship and the reason that there's even a veterinary social work plan or program at Oregon Humane Society.
Oh, that's amazing. And Dr. Coaches, what has your background been like? What was your journey from vet school to where you are now?
Yeah, so I graduated from Cornell and I, in 1996, dating myself a little bit, and migrated out west a few years after I got out of school. I'd always wanted to live in the Pacific Northwest, just came out here as a veterinary student, did an externship, and I like instantly fell in love with Portland. So I moved out here in the late 90s. I've been connected to the Oregon Humane Society for a really long time as a volunteer, as a foster, as a consultant, and then I was on the board. And then finally, our CEO was like, hey, do you want to just work here? So I kind of, it's been this evolution of time that I've spent with this organization. And this has really been a great stop on my veterinary journey to work in shelter medicine. I've learned a lot about myself and the profession just from working in a shelter. One of the things that has been most enlightening is that, you know, shelter medicine is not any less than any other medicine that we practice. And in fact, a lot of my veterinarians have, like, they're the only option for our patients. And so, you know, we don't have the ability to refer, get specialists, that sort of thing. Like, they have to be able to do everything that they can in order to set this pet up for success. So it's just been a really, it's been a great way for me to kind of highlight my veterinary career and end up in shelter medicine.
How great for our shelter to be able to bring in someone who's got so much experience in such a wide breadth of work outside of shelter medicine to come in and really help us be able to help the pet in the best way possible. And also has so much industry knowledge. Like, I think Dr. Coaches is very humble right now. We're very lucky to have someone on the team who's able to have so many connections in vet med as well.
Yeah, so important to have. And tell the listeners about you. You have quite the staff that's there too. So what does that look like from doctors, technicians? You have board members. What does that look like?
Well, I'll focus like on the community hospital is the newest thing that we added, and I want to tie in the social work piece too because that was something that I come from a family where I have a sibling and two nieces that are social workers. They're not veterinary social workers. And I've had the honor and the privilege to actually work with a veterinary social worker in the past, and a couple of times actually. And the benefit that this brings to any practice, including a shelter practice, and now with a community arm where we're seeing the public, has been just kind of a game changer. I wish that every practice that I ever worked at had a social worker, because it helps the employees, it helps the clients, it helps the pets indirectly. And yeah, we have a big staff. So we're two locations. We have a Salem location and the Portland location. The community hospital just in and of itself is about 45 employees, and we just opened in October. And so we started with four doctors, and we're already up to eight just in that short amount of time, ramping up. And we, on the shelter side, we have admissions, customer care, adoptions, animal care, plus we have marketing, events. We have just all of these different sort of teams and groups all working together. We have over 300 employees now.
Holy smokes. Wow. Yeah. So Kelly, what is that like then? Because I know that it's not that common. I wish it was, about having a veterinary social worker in community practice. How did that come to fruition, and where are we at today with the Oregon Humane Society?
I was very fortunate that I needed an internship with University of Tennessee's program. And I was very fortunate that Dr. Kochis really championed that. So he's the star on that side, convincing the board what this role might be. And the great part was I was an intern at first. So it was cheap, good labor. And I also had a great knowledge of what animal welfare was. And when we opened a community veterinary hospital, the idea was that I would be embedded in the hospital so that I could not only help the public access human social services, because there's this idea that if I can make the life of the person better, I can improve the life of the pet. And I think that holistic sort of one health idea is really important, especially in community medicine, because a lot of community medicine for veterinary care and animal welfare work, it really is social services, if we're going to call it what it is. So having someone on staff who can speak the language to other social workers, to other human services, that part is really important, because then we're able to connect people to resources, connect them to the services they might qualify for, so that their pet can receive all the benefits that we can offer. So I was fortunate that Dr. Kochis had worked with one in the past, had seen the value, brought me on. We clicked, thank goodness. And it was this idea that we sort of were like, hey, the sky's the limit. And I do like to say that veterinary social work is amazing and I am awesome, but it is not magic. It is a lot of hard work and connection and just really thinking about the programs that you have, even at your community practice or your shelter, to be sure that they're inclusive, to be sure that they are looking at things through a lens for community partners that makes sense. So, if we're looking at a pet who needs services, we're looking at the whole pet, the whole family, not just the pet that's on the exam table in front of you. And I think that's the key to veterinary social work. Yeah. And I think that's why we've been so successful, is because we've gotten great buy-in from the team that's there. And Dr. Kochis leads that by example, by showing how important the work is, because it is hard as a social worker to even say what you do. Every time someone asks me, I think about that meme from Office Space where someone's like, what is it you say you do here? And I don't always know what the answer is, because sometimes it's just listening or connecting folks. And then my favorite part is assisting the staff, because vet med is hard. The work is hard. And I think in the last few years, we've really gotten the idea of how hard and what sort of resiliency and strength it takes to do the work. And so this idea that I get to support staff by offering psychoeducation, by talking about boundaries, by talking about how we speak about clients and each other, not only offering support to the client, but offering support to the staff. We just want people to stay in the job as long as they want to stay in the job. And having support, I think, is shifting us to a better culture of wellness. And I hope that that's what keeps people around.
Oh,
yeah. Beautifully. What's great for me, and I think a lot of staff, is like, Adam, you and I, we were trained to be good doctors. We know the medicine, we know how to help the pet, but we don't always know how to help the person with the issues that are sort of impacting their ability to either take care of the pet or treat the pet or, whatever else might be going on in their life. And so for our team, like, we can, in these more emotionally charged or issues, or where there's cases where there are other factors at play, like fleeing domestic violence, houselessness, substance abuse, whatever it is, like, we can truly, Kelly comes in and takes the human part, and we focus on the pet and the medical part. And then, you know, it just, it shares the weight of the whole process across the people who are experts in dealing with all the different aspects of this. And sometimes Kelly is just a conduit, like she, a caseworker reaches out to her and says, hey, I have a patient that needs their pet to get spayed and vaccinated to get into assisted living or whatever. And then she talks to me, we get it on the schedule, bim, bam, boom, like it's done.
That's wonderful. I mean, we're talking in times of access to care, spectrum of care. I mean, it's falling right in line with what you and your team are really walking the walk. And have you, Kelly, I'm curious to get your insight on this too. What I love that you're saying you're talking to the teams about this. What does that feel like knowing that? Yeah, I mean, it's tough. Like you said, veterinary medicine is hard. Is it, do you notice that it's nice that the team has somebody that's there to chat with as well? Because maybe they need you just to talk to about what's going on with, like, you know, their day-to-day activities or what's going on at home.
Yeah, I think that we do send a little survey out to teams. So I do get some responses. We have a little bit of data on things like this. It feels like people are happy for a couple reasons. One, if I'm helping you in the room take over a little bit of that emotional burden or the person part of the problem or this equation, then that can come off your plate. So wouldn't it be nice when you leave for the day to not think about that woman in the end of life conversation today who you worry about what her stability was for the night, right? I've already talked to them. We've secured a plan. We've done a lot of things. So wouldn't it be nice when you leave for the day to not ruminate so much when you take stuff home? Would that be great? Does that help your quality of life? Does that help your work-life balance? And then I do also offer a bit of coaching or one-on-one time for staff. And a lot of times it's referring them to some great partners that are already out in the world. Like Vet Med is getting pretty great ideas about how to support these teams. There's peer-led support like Veterinary Mental Health Initiative, Veterinary Hope Foundation. There are free programs out there that are offering support. So sometimes it's just me connecting them to something already existing. And sometimes it's me because they're like, oh, hey, we had a really hard euthanasia and I just want to process it out loud and say some stuff, but I don't want to trauma slime all over this team that I love. And the technician's also having feelings, but I'm having feelings. So having them come in and be able to have 20 minutes of time with a mental health professional to say things out loud, because most of the time I'm looking at someone and I'm listening and I'm saying, I hear you, I see you, and of course you're feeling this way. So I'm just validating people and making sure they feel seen and heard. And I think sometimes we have such a busy day and a 20-minute appointment and we're on to the next. It's nice for someone to stop and say that. And I hope that that brings people a little bit of resiliency and a bounce back in their step to keep going.
Absolutely. And Dr. Kotches, from your perspective as a veterinarian, what have been some examples that you can share with the listeners where, you know, so veterinary social work has really come into play?
Yeah, I mean, the story that will be forever ingrained in my mind is, and Kelly can fill in the details, like be very high level, because she was kind of the central sort of, she was the pillar of making this whole process possible. There was an elderly couple, they adopted a dog that was deaf and also had some behavioral issues. And shortly after they adopted this dog, and the woman, the wife was very bonded, and very good with the dog, especially with, you know, its fear and being deaf, et cetera, and had experience working with dogs like this in the past, sadly passed away very suddenly. And the husband in this whole story also had some health issues or whatever, ended up needing to move closer to family, which brought him to Portland. And unfortunately, because the dog was deaf, because the dog had a lot of fear and anxiety, et cetera, he wasn't exactly the best, it wasn't the best home for him, especially because the husband had to live with family. There were other dogs, they were bullying this poor dog. Again, the deaf part, plus he had some mental health and sort of ongoing other medical issues. So Kelly started with a consult, kind of prep the whole story or prep the whole situation to be able to get the dog to a place where it could be surrendered to the shelter. Working with the family, getting the dog used to being in a crate, basically just alleviating the whole sort of all the emotional and hard work that went into eventually the dog getting turned over to Oregon Humane Society so that we could then get this dog moved on to another home, and had a really happy ending. The family was alleviated. She was really instrumental in the process of working with the family to make them not feel guilty, dealing with the elderly gentleman who was not well equipped to be able to handle this dog, just kind of smooth everything over. And then all I had to worry about was now helping this dog, getting him some behavioral modification training, and getting him into a good home.
Yeah, and I think filling in the gaps of that story, right? It takes so many people at the shelter to make something like this work. And sometimes we don't have a person coordinating that, or we have department talking to department, team talking to team. And we often are so focused on the pet that we've also forgotten about the family that loves this pet and is surrendering this pet for a really good reason. An animal shelter is a safety net, and we should be there. And so for this pet, we really worked hard to find out, is surrender the best option? And we worked for months to try to find out if that was true. So that was me connecting a family with social services for their aging parent, for this owner. And it was also me connecting that family to resources for the pet, free food bank and low cost or access to care. And then also getting connected to the training and behavior team at the Oregon Humane Society, who does fabulous work with the public to try to keep pets in homes. So this idea that we worked really hard for 6 or 8 months to keep this pet in the home and have a modification or a management plan at home, and getting them connected to services, and then being honest and realizing that this pet needed more than this person could handle at this time. But also that pet was really wrapped up in the grief of losing a loved one. And what does that look like to surrender a pet? I think it's wise to remember that I've worked in the shelter for a long time. Nobody just walks in and says, here's the animal I love, take care of him, kisses, bye. That's right. Not really how surrender works. It is a hard job for the staff. It's a hard job for the person surrendering. It's hard on the animal. So we only use that when we have to. And in this case, when the surrender needed to happen, then facilitating that so that the family could process those emotions, so that the staff could understand where this pet was coming from and why it was here. There's a lot of moving parts to animal surrender at times, especially when we've tried to divert that surrender, which is, I think, what animal shelters and veterinarians are trying to do. Like, GPs are really your first line of defense for medical surrenders. They're talking to owners about things that we never thought would be necessary to talk about. So like having good partners out in the community and all of these things is how we try to keep pets in homes. And sometimes they have to end up at the shelter. So I do like that example of working really hard, trying to do a management program, still ending up at the shelter, but feeling okay that that had to be the end result. And that family was able to move on with life, and they missed that dog, of course, but life got a little easier and more manageable for them. And that dog was able to move on to an owner who had some experience with a deaf pet before and was able to give that pet a little more one-on-one attention. So, and all that work we did in those 6 to 8 months, all that work ensured that that pet could have a successful ending to that story. And that includes so many people at the shelter. And as a veterinary social worker, managing the people side of that just made the pet side so much easier.
Okay. Yeah. Oh. She's involved, whether it be, you know, just with like quoting a couple of resources for the veterinarian or the veterinary team to pass on to the client, to actually facilitating going in the room with the client. You know, we've had a few instances where there's, you know, mental health crisis, and just being kind of like there to support both the client as well as the team as we're trying to help the pet. I gave the example of domestic abuse. That's an all too often request for us is to help get a pet spayed, neutered, vaccinated, parasite prevention, et cetera, in order to get them into housing and get them away from their abuser. And the pet, you know, the goal is to get the pet with the person, with the owner, because we know that they're often involved in probably some form of the abuse and neglect as well.
Yeah, that's tough. It really is. And so, Kelly, what does the future of veterinary social work look like for the profession, veterinary medicine, and how can others get involved? Because I think what you're sharing is very inspirational to others that say, hey, I want to do that.
I hope so. I mean, listen, the dream is endless money for all veterinary medicine and shelters, and also a veterinary social worker for every practice and or animal shelter. and as we work towards that, I think there are a couple programs out in the world who are doing great things. So if you're interested in social work, you're interested in the animal aspect, University of Tennessee has a great program. University of Denver has a great program. Michigan State works on a program. There are lots of great programs out in the world who are saying, hey, as a social worker, it's really important to include animals in your process so that when a person comes to you for help, you're looking at more than just the person in front of you. And that's what we're doing as social workers. We care about the system within which you're living and working and trying to do your best. So I like this idea that the programs are including that. I think also there's only a handful of us who are working in animal shelters currently. Most veterinary social workers are embedded in an emergency or specialty hospital. And some of the big chains have them in strategic locations like territories. So right now it's still a little bit of a beginning. And I think that what we're doing is just being visible, being out there, talking about the work that we do. I'm so fortunate to get invited to speak occasionally to different groups about the work. And I'm so happy to do that. Because what I really hope it's doing is supporting the people who support pets so that we can all just do this work as best we can.
We would love to expand this program and have more Kellys or actually supervise an army of either students or interns, et cetera. You know, one person can only do so much. And, you know, the demand exceeds the ability of everything that she's able to kind of help with. So we unfortunately escalate, you know, the more heightened cases or the more involved cases to the sort of Kelly level. And again, across the whole organization, so both the shelter operations side as well as the hospital. So there's a lot of moving parts that potentially we'd like to make this like a department and even potentially like a community resource, not just for, you know, our own organization, but for the Portland metro area.
Yeah, that's incredible. I do know, I can tell you that we do get a lot of listeners that will write to us to say, can I intern? Can I shadow? Is that something that Oregon Humane Society can offer or for both you, Kelly, and Dr. Kochus?
Yeah. We are a teaching hospital as well. So we have veterinary students from Oregon State University who all do a mandatory rotation with us. We have a shelter medicine internship, a shelter medicine residency. Kelly had her first social work intern this last year. So we like to train the future of veterinary medicine, whether that's the social work aspect or the veterinary paraprofessional.
Excellent. This is wonderful. And so where can we learn more about you, both Kelly and Dr. Kochus and Oregon Humane Society?
Go to our website at OregonHumane.org.
That's it. That's awesome. Well, you know, I have to visit. I know I said this when I called you to congratulate you, because to the listeners, please go to the website for several reasons. One, it's a great resource for sure. Great connections. You probably know somebody, because you know how there's always 6 degrees of separation in veterinary medicine. So you're going to know somebody, just like how Dr. Kochus and I, we got connected. It's so funny. But also look how beautiful the facility is. It's absolutely stunning. You know what I love about this? Just really quick to talk about the facility, because I sit on a lot of the hospital design. The workflow, to me as an outsider, I'd be curious to get your opinion, but it just looks like it works, if you know what I mean. You know, from both from a shelter medicine perspective, from working in shelter medicine, veterinary perspective, a veterinary social media, social worker. What are your thoughts on that in terms of like the workflow and the space?
Yeah, and this is where, I mean, I think we were very fortunate that we had the budget, the bandwidth, and the expertise across the organization between our board, our volunteers, our staff, and a really dedicated and forward-thinking contractors and architects that, I mean, they flew and visited probably a dozen or more different veterinary facilities, including the Oregon Zoo, the ASPCA in North Carolina. Like they really wanted to take the best of everything that they saw and avoid the things that, you know, were problematic. And it was about, like, we also built what we thought we were going to need for like the next 10 years. And to grow into something that was 24/7 and to grow into something that would be able to still provide the high volume spay neuter aspect and the movement of a large number of animals in a very short period of time. You know, right now I think we're capped out at about 40-ish cats in a morning that we're spaying and neutering in just, you know, a few hours. We'd like that number to be like 60 or 70. We're open 5 days a week. We'd like to get to 7. So everything was very sort of deliberate in how we built it, again, to not just be what we needed for today, but also what we were going to need 5-10 years from now. And we got a lot of great input from, you know, volunteers that have various expertise on the human side. Our pack and prep team, so you can imagine with the number of surgeries we do between the two hospitals, there's over 100 surgery packs that need to be dealt with every single day. It's almost entirely done by retired nurses on the human side. And so they have a lot of great input into how we designed and the flow of our, even our pack and prep. This was one of those situations where it was really helpful to get a lot of opinions.
Yeah, there were never too many cooks in the kitchen, right? And this idea that everybody's input was welcome. So even shelter staff who would be bringing pets over to the hospital, the way that the facilities team was able to talk about maintenance for that building, the way that they were asking me, what would an office look like for you? What would be the best option for you? What would be the best flow for clients to come see you? It was a really collaborative effort. And I don't think we can stress that enough. It was so great to also have leadership in place who was willing to take all of that input and mesh that together. Cause I think a lot of times that's not always how it works. So we were really fortunate to have leaders who wanted the input from all of the parties that had a stake in it.
Wow. Fantastic. Well, congratulations again for all the great accolades and achievements that you're doing, all the great work that our friends at the Oregon Humane Society are doing. And a special thank you to you, Kelly Brinkman, for all the great work that you're doing as a veterinary social worker. I know that we're going to have some people that are going to be writing in saying, I didn't know that that was a career. I'm interested in learning more. So thank you for shedding light on such a pertinent and special field. So, and Dr. Kochis, thank you for all the great work that you're doing too, my friend. I can't wait to see you soon.
Yeah, we'll see you in less than 4 weeks.
Yeah, you got it. Thank you so much for being on the show. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Don't forget to visit them too, the Oregon Humane Society. And also don't forget to rate this podcast. How did we do? Give us a thumbs up. And we'll see you next week right here on the Vet Blast Podcast. Take care, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast Podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay possum.